All right, let's take our Bibles tonight and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. I'm excited. Tuesday, Josh and I are going to drive over to Morgantown, West Virginia. Do you folks remember years ago, there was a whole family of boys that rode our buses and got saved? Their names were Montoros. Remember the Montoros? How many of you remember them? Would you raise your hand? Many of you do. Good. Two of them, I think, are in the ministry. One's in New York, pastoring a church, and the other is, I think, in Pennsylvania, pastoring a church. And then they had a little brother whose name was Mike. All right, he was the red-headed one. Do you remember Mike? Raise your hand. You remember Mike? All right, so Mike is he is like the vice president of the sports program. He's a big shot with West Virginia University and their sports program, and Mike watches our service. Every time we're on, so he'll text me or email me every now and then, and you know, say something like, "Wow, that was a good one," or something like that, you know. So he told me one time, if you'd ever like to go to a game, just let me know, and I'll hook you up. And so I texted him a couple of months ago. And asked him if he could get four tickets to the game Tuesday night. They're playing Iowa State. So he immediately texted me back and got four tickets for us and a parking pass. Bless his heart. So Josh and I are going to go to the game, and my brother is driving up from Beckley, and then our best friend, mine and Mike's best friend growing up, we lived in the same community in the same subdivision, and we're going to meet at his house, and then we're going to go to the game on Tuesday night. So I'm all excited about that. The only thing that scares me is you never know if it's going to snow out 68, all right? You just never know. It can be gorgeous here, all right? 50 degrees. You get out to Cumberland, and it will be snowing so bad you can't see the hood ornament on your car. So if you folks would pray the weather is good. So we don't have to, I'm going to turn around, Lord willing, and drive back Tuesday night. It's only 3 hours. So I'll be here Wednesday night. Don't worry about that. But I'm just excited about going and seeing my brother, but also seeing, Tom. I haven't seen Tom in a long time, so it's going to be good to see him. So I really appreciate Mike getting those tickets for us. All right, what made me think of that is we're going to look at chapter 9 tonight, and it has a lot of sport analogies. A lot of sport analogies. So that's what made me think of it when I looked down at my Bible. All right, so let's begin reading, please, at verse 18. Verse 18, and you follow along in the Bible as I read, beginning in verse 18. Now, Paul says, "What is my reward then? Verily, that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. Unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without the law, so Gentiles, as without the law, being not without law to God, of course, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. Now, pay attention to this verse right here. This is my text. In verse 24, Paul says, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as certainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body, and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." A castaway. All right, let's pray, and I want to speak right now on life and running the race. Life and running the race. Let's pray for a moment and ask the Lord to help us, and then the message. Father in heaven, we just rejoice in our salvation, and we thank you for this Christian life that you have called us to. And Father, I pray that you will bless this evening as we take a look at running the race and how to run. And Father, I pray you'll help me as I speak. I pray you'll help our folks as they listen, and just bless in a great way. May the Word of God make a tremendous difference in our lives this evening. And we'll praise you and thank you for what's accomplished in Jesus' name. Amen. I kind of have a feeling, just from reading the letters that Paul wrote in the Bible, but I kind of have a feeling that the Apostle Paul enjoyed sports. He often makes references to the Olympics, to running, and to various sports that are involved in Olympic-style events. He uses races. He talks about races, running races, and then he speaks about boxing and wrestling and reaching for the mark and winning the prize, and just all of these sports analogies that he throws into his epistles, and they illustrate some really important lessons for believers that we should pay attention to. Running today is a popular form of recreation. Lots of people run, like this one back here. He runs every morning, all right? 20 degrees, and he's out there running. God help him. He has a perfectly good car, and he's out running. Go figure. Out where I live, I see folks running along our road all the time. I used to see this little old man for years, this little old man. Looked like he was probably in his 70s, maybe upper 70s, and he would be out running along the road, along Bachman Valley, and he would run down Lemon Road, and then you'd see him coming back after a while, but he would just all the time be out there running, jogging. And I often worried about him, thinking maybe, he better be careful out there, because a lot of times I think he used his gray hair as a warning to other drivers, you know, that they wouldn't bump him off the road or whatever, because he would just run on the road and make you go around him. And I worried about that. I wondered about that. And then all of a sudden, one day he wasn't out there any longer. And I do not know if he moved away or maybe passed away. I don't know. I didn't know his name. I checked the obituary columns in the paper to see if there was a picture. And there were a few guys that were listed around that time. But I don't know if he moved away or if he maybe passed away. Now, one thing was sure. If he passed away, if he died old and healthy. All right? But he did die. Keep that in mind. Bodily exercise profiteth little. That's what Paul said. Don't look at me like that. My daughter, Lauren, coaches the track team down at the Christian school where Ava attends. And Lauren absolutely loves coaching the team. She won, her team won last year the regionals, and they won the state championship. They had a great year last year. And because of the success of the team, this year, she has 75 high school boys and girls, young men, young ladies, who have come out in an effort to make the team. Amen. 75. And she said, "Dad, I've got to cut some of the kids, and I don't know if I can do it or not, but we'll see." So last year, they won just about every meet they entered. And I always try to time my spring visit to them when the state meet and the regional meet is happening. One happens one weekend, and then the other happens the other weekend. And I try to fly home that Saturday night so I can be in church on Sunday. But I enjoy watching the races, and it is amazing how big track and field events are across this country, especially in warmer climates. When I was a freshman in college, at the end of April, I think it was, we had an all-school Saturday track meet. And as I told you this morning, the school had these literary societies. They were not fraternities. There was no pledge or oath or anything like that. But they set up these literary societies on campus, and everyone had to join one of these societies. And the meet was basically between the different societies, and I remember the guys in our society on Wednesday we had our meeting, and then on Saturday was the track meet, and I remember sitting there, and the guys come in. I had no idea what they were talking about, having never experienced it before, but they were literally begging people to sign up, and they said, we're going to have a brief little practice, but when they scheduled the practice, I had to work, and so I did not I was not able to go to the practice. So I went out on Saturday morning, just, you know, cold as anything, and found out when I got out there that I had been placed in the 1 mile run. A mile. I thought, that ain't bad. I can do this. And so it came time for the race, and the guy took the gun, held it up in the air, fired it, and I took off running. Now, I was 18 years old, and I had done a lot of running in the past, all right? I ran track in junior high and in high school, and I ran the mile a number of times. But I thought, you know, I'm in shape. I hadn't done any running, but I'm 18 years old. You know, I had the world by the tail. And I thought, I got this, no problem. So we lined up, and the guy fired the gun, and we took off running. Now, I knew that the best thing to do was probably get behind this this fella, whoever was out in front. So I got behind him, and I started running just right behind him. And we were kind of getting separation between us. It was us two, and then it was the rest of the pack. And so we did about two laps, and the guy that was out in front started to fade. I mean, seriously fade. He was gasping for air. And it dawned on me, this guy's never run a mile race in his life. And I'm behind him, we're running this fast pace. And I got two laps in, my legs are on fire. My lungs were on fire. It felt like someone had my stomach and was just twisting it. Oh, it was the worst feeling I ever had. And so when he faded, I started to fade. And I thought, I've got to keep going. I've got to keep going. I'm going to lose if I don't keep going. So I kept running just as hard as I could, even though I was hurting so badly. And by the time we got to the last lap, they rang that little bell, and I was in the lead, came around for that last bell, and I thought, man, I'm not going to make it. I'm going to die before I get around there. And I started thinking, okay, where's that second wind they always talk about? You know, I couldn't find the first wind, much less the second wind. And by the time I got around to the straight stretch, and I looked down at the end of that straight stretch, and it looked to me like it was about 2 miles long. And all I had to do was make it down to that straight stretch and round that corner and then do that straight stretch, and the race was over. And all of a sudden, I felt like I had 100-pound weights on both feet. And it was all I could do. Clomp, clomp, clomp. And I'm gasping, and I'm hurting, and I'm ready to die. I mean, I'm just wanting to die. And all of a sudden, this little nerd boy, he came blowing around me like I was sitting still. He got his second win, and his third one, I think. And he won the race. Now, I kept running, but about four others passed me before I got to the finish line. And when I got to the finish line, I went over into the grass and collapsed. And I thought, I will never run again as long as I live. And I pretty much haven't. Pretty much haven't. And I learned a very valuable lesson that day. Very valuable lesson. I learned never sign up for track, no matter how hard they beg you. And I didn't. I didn't. When they looked at me, I said, get a freshman. I was a sophomore. I did it last year. Get a freshman. They don't know any better. And I decided, that's it. I never ran again in that event. And then the second lesson I learned was, if you do ever plan to run a competitive mile again, you first have to get in shape. You cannot just go out there cold and run a mile and expect to compete. You're just not going to do it. And so that ended my track days right there. Now, I want you to look at these verses that I just read for you, and you will notice here that the Apostle Paul says a runner needs to do a few things in order to win the race. All right, so let's think about that tonight. Winning the prize, winning the race. And I want you to notice a couple of things real quickly. First of all, notice that running the race requires persistency. If you will look at verse 24, Paul said, so run that ye might obtain. Now, I didn't run that race very smartly, did I? No, I didn't. Well, I thought the guy that was that I got right behind, I thought he was a runner. He looked like a runner. And I thought he was a runner, and I thought, man, this guy's good. He's flying around this track. But he couldn't stay persistent, and neither could I. But you've got to stay persistent if you're going to run a race. So run that ye might obtain. And Paul is speaking here about running, listen now, running so you can win the race. I didn't run so that I could win the race. I ran so that I could get fifth place in the race, which, by the way, they didn't have a pin for that. They didn't have a trophy for that. They didn't have a ribbon for that. I mean, I didn't even get my name mentioned anywhere. But had it been mentioned, it wouldn't have mattered. I laid in that spot for an hour or so before I got up. I literally thought I was dying. I could hear my heart beating in my ears. That's how bad it was. But listen, if you're going to win the race, you must run persistently. And you've got to run the whole race. You must be faithful and run the entire race. You might remember several years ago, some guy came out of a coffee shop in the Boston Marathon and just jumped into the race with just a little ways to go. And he came zooming across the finish line and held his hands up in the air and you know, just put on like he had run the entire race. What he didn't realize was this is the age where everything you do, whether you do it inside or outside, is being videotaped. And so somebody thought, that just doesn't look right to us. And so they started checking the videotape, and they saw him come out of Starbucks and join the race and run with everybody else. That's cheating, folks. You can't do that. And of course, he was immediately disqualified when it was discovered that he did not run the entire race. Listen, Christian, we must be faithful and run the entire race if you expect to get the prize. When the race gets difficult, though, that's when folks want to quit, isn't it? That's when we want to quit. But we cannot get weary in well-doing when it comes to running the race of the Christian life. Paul said, so run that ye may obtain. Run the race, in other words, to win the race. I wanted to quit that Saturday morning after two laps. I wanted to quit. I said, whoa, man, I am not prepared for this. And I wanted to just quit. Oh, my body was completely oxygen deprived. Everything in me was screaming for me to quit. But I couldn't quit and let my team down. So I just kept going until I thought for sure I was going to collapse. I did not win, but I did finish the race. But you see, folks, once you stop, it's extremely difficult to start up again. And had I collapsed on the track and given up, then I'll guarantee you I would not have gotten up and continued running the race. When you stop, it gets difficult. When I got to that final lap, I looked over on the sideline and there was my team and they were all over there cheering me on and they were all saying, keep going, keep going. And I knew that little nerd boy was coming behind me. I mean, I knew he was coming. And if I stopped or if I quit, he and a bunch of others would have blown by me. I didn't stop. But I came out of the chute so fast running with that other fella that I expended my energy. And so I did not run a smart race. But thank God I didn't quit. Now, once I finished the race, I vowed I quit. All right? And so when you finish the race, the Christian life, then you can say when you get to heaven, all right, I quit. I'm not going to run anymore. But you won't have to. Amen. All right, so listen, folks. We need to realize that we've got to keep pressing on. Persistency. Now, it was going on before COVID, but the truth is we just have too many quitters in Christian circles today. When things get tough, they just quit. But for you to have a winning performance, you must be diligent, Christian. You must be faithful and run the race as persistently as you possibly can. You simply cannot be a quitter in the race of the Christian life. I'm saying first, be that effective runner. And if you're going to be that effective runner, it requires persistence on your part. Folks, what if the Lord Jesus had gone to the cross and as he was hanging there on the cross said, that's it, I'm done. I mean, he could have called a legion of angels to come and set him free. But aren't you glad he didn't do that? You see, he finished the race. He finished the course. He could have said, this pain is too much. I just can't go on anymore. But he didn't do that. And thank God Almighty in heaven, he didn't quit. He stayed on the cross until he cried, it is finished. Secondly, running the race also requires perspiration. Oh my. As I've emphasized already, running is not easy. It's not easy. It requires a lot of sweat, a lot of perspiration. Last fall, Ava ran cross country. My granddaughter ran cross country down in Orlando. And their courses were uphill and downhill and through creeks and you name it. Some of them were just horrible. They ran one in a pounding rainstorm. And she ended up actually falling three times in that race. She won the race because she got up and she kept going. All right, you see the point? You can't quit. I mean, sometimes it's difficult to run because of outside influences, but a winning performance is not the path of least resistance. The runner has to be ready and has to be prepared and has to be strong and healthy. And folks, this is true, real spirituality. We've got to be ready. This is where the rubber meets the road for the Christian life. If while winning the race, you and I encounter some obstacles, well, just keep running, Christian. I mean, if you do not let these obstacles get in your way and keep you from running, that is true spirituality. You see, you have grown to the place where you can sidestep those things. They won't imprint on you. They won't mess you up. I mean, that is learning and maturing in the Christian life. As I said recently, this is why we need to fortify ourselves in the Word of God. Folks, there is no doubt that we are going to have our obstacles as we run life's race. I mean, we're going to have a storm here. We're going to have a mud hole there. We're going to have a contrary wind that is just blasting us right in the face. But the Word of God provides us with the tools that we need so that we can just keep marching on in spite of what comes our way. Flip the page to the 10th chapter for just a moment. Just look over at the 10th chapter and look, please, at verse 17. The 10th chapter, look at verse 17. He says, "For we, being many, are one bread and one body, for we are partakers of that bread." All right, now look at 18. He said, Behold, Israel after the flesh. Are not they which eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar? What say I then, that the idol is anything, or that which is offered in sacrifice to idols is anything? But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would not that they should have fellowship with devils. Now listen to this. Ye cannot drink of the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. Go down, please, to verse 25. He says, "Whatsoever is sold in the shambles, that eat, asking no questions for conscience sake. For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. If any of them that believe not bid you to feast, and ye be disposed to go, whatsoever is set before you, eat, asking no questions for conscience sake. But if any man say unto you, this is offered in sacrifice unto idols, eat not." Look down at verse 29. "Conscience, I say, not thine own, but of the other. For why is my liberty judged of another man's conscience? For if I by grace be a partaker, why am I evil spoken of for that which I give thanks? Whether therefore we eat or drink or whatsoever we do, do all to the glory of God." Folks, let's just run for the glory of God. I mean, just run the race. Realize you're in a race to begin with, and then run that race and run to win. Paul said in Philippians 4:13, "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Man, I'm glad we can, aren't you? Number three, running requires purpose. Purpose. Now think about that for just a moment. Paul said, so run that ye may obtain. You see, to run successfully, you need goals. You need something to aim at. Now, Paul is specifically speaking here about an athlete running a race, but he doesn't just run to be running. No, in racing, the goal is to win. Amen. That's the goal. I mean, Paul encourages and exhorts the believer to run to obtain the winner's prize, the crown. Give it all that you have. I mean, run the Christian life with everything you got, but run to accomplish your purpose. And what is your purpose? It's to glorify God. In verse 25, he said, folks here in this life, run a race so that they can get a crown. It's a corruptible crown. All right, a corruptible crown. But this crown that we're going to get for running the Christian race, the Christian life race, is an incorruptible crown. And that is the one that we will receive when we get to heaven. And folks, we just need to run with purpose the Christian life. There are far too many folks who are content to just simply do enough for God to ease their conscience or to get by. Just too many folks that are like that. And that is not running for the prize. There is no purpose in the heart. And that is just going through the motions of being a Christian. Look at our chapter 9, and look at verse 26. Paul said, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. You see, there's just too many folks that are running to make a show. Don't run to make a show. Run to get the prize. Run for God's glory, not your own glory. And that is what so many people seem to be striving to do today. Paul said he runs not as uncertainly, in other words, with purpose. And he said, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. Suppose your neighbor is standing out in his garage and he's going through the motions of fighting someone. And he's in his garage just boxing up a storm. And you walk by and you see him and you notice that he looks like he is just pummeling somebody. But you look real good, there's nobody in there. What's he hitting? Air. He's just hitting the air. And so you walk away and then curiosity gets the best of you. You come back and you say, what are you doing in there? And he says, well, I'm fighting the devil. I'm fighting the devil. Now, you would walk away in your mind going, wow, this dude's lost his mind. You're fighting the devil. You're not hitting a thing. And you're not going to defeat the devil with a pair of boxing gloves. All right? It's just not going to happen. He is beating the air. He looks good, doesn't he? Huh? He looks good. He looks like he knows what he's doing. I used to enjoy watching boxing. I don't so much anymore, but I used to enjoy it. I like to watch it just to see what Muhammad Ali was going to do next. And so So I would watch it, and you know, when they bring the two fighters out for the weigh-in, you know, and then Ali start acting a fool and shadow boxing and all that stuff. It was so funny just to watch him do it. And then he got in the ring and he did the same thing in the ring that he did when he was shadow boxing. And I just got the biggest kick out of all that. But the simple truth of the matter is, he was just beating the air. He didn't hit his opponent. He didn't do anything. I mean, he looked good doing it, but he was just going through the motions. And there are a lot of Christians today who are simply going through the motions of the Christian life. Folks, we ought to endeavor to do the very best that we can for the Lord Jesus. Where has the Lord led in your life? Where's the Lord led in your life? What are you doing today for the Lord? Are you teaching in Carroll Christian schools? Well, then you ought to strive to be the very best teacher that you could possibly be. Not for Carroll Christian Schools, not for the parents of your students, not for me, not for the school board. No, you ought to be the very best you can be for the Lord. Primarily, everything we do should be for the Lord. Do you sing in the choir? Do you teach Sunday school? Do you work in the nursery? Do you work in the bus ministry? No matter what you do, Christian, make up your mind that you're going to do what you do for the Lord the very best you can. Just do it the best you can. Run for the prize. Oh, how we need to strive to win it all, not for us, but for our Lord. Amen. Then lastly, running requires precepts. Now, you know what precepts are. They're standards. They're rules. They're the things we go by. Life has its precepts. All right? Dr. Bob Sr. used to say all the time, I am free to stand up here and wave my arm. But my freedom ends where your nose begins. Right? That's true, isn't it? I can stand up here and wave my arms all I want. But if I get my fist in your face, then my liberty has run its course. All right? And you'll notice here, there's rules. There always are rules. Everything has rules. I sometimes get confronted by these parents, and they'll say, "My child got detention. We had one. I'm thinking of right now. Had one, and I don't know what the rule is about being late. But if you're late so many times, you have to do a detention, or you used to have to. I don't know if you do now or not, but you used to have to do a detention." And there was a parent who was late. It seemed like every day he was late bringing the kids to school. And so he came up to the office and stuck his head in. He said, you got a minute? And I said, sure. He said, can I shut the door? I said, sure. So he walked in, sat down, and we chit-chatted a little bit. And then I said, what's up? He said, I need to talk to you about something. And I said, what? He said, my daughter got detention. I said, for what? Well, for being late. I said, your daughter doesn't drive. He stopped and he thought about that for a second and wondered, do I proceed or do I get up and walk out of here and just act like nothing happened? But he decided to proceed. And so he said, now I understand the rule. And I said, you do? He said, yes, I understand the rule. I said, you understand the rule, but you want me to override the administration of the school and get your daughter out of detention. And I said, look, man, the rule is there, and we're going to enforce it. That rule is for you, and it's for everybody else in the school. We need to start at 8 o'clock. Well, it's not her fault that we're late. I said, all right, then you do the detention. Amen. He stood up and he said, all right, I got it, and walked out and started getting here on time. You see, folks, everything has precepts, doesn't it? Everything. And folks, when they run the race, they need to run to win the prize, but you've got to stay within the rules of the Christian life. In other words, you cannot cheat. You cannot run the 100-meter hurdles and run around the hurdles. No, you got to go over them. All right? That's cheating to run to the side of them. You have to actually hurdle the hurdles. That's why they call it the 100 hurdles. You got to jump, you got to hurdle the hurdles. And if you don't, then you're cheating. You are outside the boundaries. You cannot run the mile, the 1600, and cut across the 50-yard line every time you pass it. You can't do that. That's cheating. You got to follow the rules. Every race, folks, has its precepts, rules that must be followed. And cheaters do not win any awards. They don't win the awards. Throughout the last century, folks used to try to cheat in order to win the prize. But in the last 30 years or so, there are cameras everywhere. And you can't cheat and get away with it today in sports. You just can't do it. I really, I watch soccer. You all know I love soccer. I watch the English Premier League as often as I can. I even tape games and watch them later. I mean, that's how much I love to watch it. And these especially these South American players. I don't know what it is about the South American players, but they're always acting like someone tore their head off, and nobody even touched them. They'll hit the ground and roll and hold their face and scream bloody murder, and the ref stops the game, and he motions. He thinks the guy's dying, and he motions to the bench, and the bench comes running in with their little bags to administer first aid and to help the guy. And the first thing he says when they get over there is, give me water. And so they give him water. Well, when they give him water, here comes the umpire, the ref. Ref comes over, and he realizes that he's just been duped. And so he says, all right, let's go. Let's go. Get him off the field. And if he doesn't get up and get off that field quickly, the ref's going to reach in his pocket and pull out this little yellow thing. And if you get two of those in one game, it turns into a red card. And that means you go take a shower. You're done. You're done. You can't cheat. And they'll fall on the ground, scream bloody murder, grab their face. Oh, they're dying. You think, oh, bless his heart. His mama is standing up in the stands going, oh, my baby, somebody's hit my baby. And then they show the replay of it. Nobody touched him. Nobody. Isn't that amazing? And boy, do they look like a fool. Because the camera then gets right in their face. And everybody in the world knows that they're cheating. They're cheating. I just don't understand that. You see, cheaters do not win any awards. But Christian, realize there is one who sees every move we make. And realize his eye never blinks. It never blinks. You and I may blink and we might miss something, but the eye of God never blinks. That eye knows how many hairs are on your head, which is not difficult for some people. John. He knows how many hairs are on our head. If he knows that, I think he knows if you're trying to cheat to win the prize. You see, folks, the Lord knows how we're running the race. That's the point. God knows if we are persistent in the race. He knows that. God knows if we are letting every little matter cause us to stop running. I'll run into folks out in the community and say, hey, where are you going to church now? Well, nowhere. Well, what happened? Oh, I don't want to bore you with it. Bore me. Go ahead, bore me. And come to find out, somebody said something to them in Sunday school. Somebody said something to them in the hallway. Somebody said something to them in the school. And they get all out of sorts. Folks, let me tell you something. You're going to be offended as you go through life. I'm sorry that you are, but you are. That's just the way it is. My mom used to say, that's the way to mop flops. I never understood that, but that's what she always said. You're just going to get offended as you go through life. And God knows if we have our eyes on the prize or if we have our eyes on the flesh. God knows that. And God knows if we're following the rules. So, Christian, if you want to have a winning performance to the glory of God and to the praise of God Almighty, run according to the rules. And just make up your mind you're going to obtain that incorruptible crown. You see, the Lord Jesus ran the perfect race for you and for me. He kept his eyes on the prize and did not allow anything to prevent him from crossing the finish line. And since he did so much for us, hey, folks, he died for us. Amen. Don't you think we could live for him? Amen. Think about that. Running the race. Let's pray. Our heads bowed, our eyes closed. Christian, let God's word touch your heart tonight, would you? Let the word of God challenge your heart tonight. Oh, how we need to run that race the best we can. Are you running to win? Huh? Can you say honestly that you're running to win? Oh, I hope you are. Not letting anything get in your way. Not letting people get in your way. Not letting man get in your way. But just running with your eyes on the Lord. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Our Heavenly Father, you know our hearts tonight. And I pray that you'll give each and every one of us an overwhelming desire to want to run the race for your glory. Father, in this day in which so many are dropping out of the race, I pray you'll help each one of us to be diligent and persistent and just stick to it and not get weary in well-doing. It's a good thing to run the race. It's a great way to live life, running the race and striving for the mastery. Father, I pray that you will help us tonight to see how important this is, and then determine in our hearts that we're going to run that race the way it should be run. I pray that you'll bless the message to our hearts. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.